Hello, and welcome everybody to another episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. My name is Nico Adjimian, your host of the AfterBuzz, and of course, the man, Buzz Adams, is
hello.
Here.
Hello.
The man, not the mind.
And a good day to all.
But the man, for sure. Before we got on air, we were talking about Rain Man, the film, starring Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise as his brother. Dustin Hoffman plays, I think he won an award for it as well.
Yes, I believe he won. I think he was best supporting for that. Yeah.
But I was telling Buzz, we were talking about it on air while he was gone, and it came up.
I watched it last night, man.
It came up that Tom Cruise does not come off as a great guy.
Oh, no, no. You're not supposed to like his character, Charlie Babbitt. You're not supposed to like Charlie at all.
In retrospect.
No. Even when it came out, he was obviously the villain. But he has a change of heart and a redemption arc and all that.
Yeah,
have you ever seen Rain Man?
Yeah, I do have. I'm not sure it would fly, though, now.
Well, I think the thing that would be more is that you're portraying people with autism as fully disabled, which some are. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, he was in this group home, and it was, I mean, kind of given the impression that if you got autism, you can't do anything for yourself except drive in the driveway very slowly on Sundays.
That's exactly what
he did. Man. I just saw Rain Man last night.
Definitely Judge Wapner. Definitely Judge Wapner.
5 minutes to Jeopardy.
Hey, why don't you pod me up?
Okie doke. There you go.
What do you mean? Check it out. Dustin Hoffman, Rain Man, look retarded, act retarded. Not retarded. Count two picks, cheat of cards. Autistic. Sure. Not retarded. Yeah, Tom Hanks, Forrest Gump. Slow, yes, retarded, maybe. Braces on his legs, but he charmed the pants off next to him and won a ping pong competition? That ain't retarded. Peter Sellers being there. Infantile, yes, retarded, no. You went full retard, man.
Okay.
Never go full retard.
Look at
you. Don't buy that? That's Sean Penn, 2001, I am saying. Remember? Went full retard. Went home empty handed.
It's an interesting choice on your part to play that clip.
It's a funny commentary on why people choose those roles to play when they're not disabled. Why would you necessarily even choose to play a disabled person? I played that clip on air last week.
I mean, they won this year. Begonia, which was nominated for Best Picture, had somebody who's actually autistic play one of the autistic characters.
And I think that is
where people
are going now in terms of acting. Get somebody who's actually,
has whatever condition you're portraying.
Well, even with the Avatar,
sometimes you need to sell tickets. You get somebody like Dustin Hoffman.
But,
you know,
even like Avatar, The Last Airbender, the movie that, who's the guy known for his twists? M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, he did a version of the cartoon, which is set in an Asian world.
And
it was like white people. He cast white people for it. And so it was...
Yeah, I don't know what Avatar is.
Well, I'm saying authenticity to the role is becoming an essential part of acting, I think.
You know, I thought the whole deal with acting was pretending to be someone you're not.
Yeah, it is too. That is the contradiction.
I mean, there's a
catch-22
going on.
Absolutely.
Here. All right.
So I just think it's, and I'm not even saying it's bad that Dustin Hoffman did that or Sean Penn or Forrest Gump. I'm just saying it brings up a good question,
which is,
should they be better represented by people who actually maybe have those conditions? Maybe is it?
Yeah, I mean, and
are you just doing this for Academy Award bait?
Well, you get paid too. You know, there's a payday attached.
I don't know. Some people don't they like take getting an Academy Award so seriously that
you
they'll
know
produce
who
their
did
own shit.
Such a great job of playing mentally handicapped man. I thought that maybe the act, because he was unknown at the time. I thought
John Cena.
In what?
Everything. No.
Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade.
Hey, yeah.
I was like, this guy, was he? And it was back in the days when the internet existed, but you couldn't just go look stuff. You couldn't look everything up. And so it wasn't until I saw him in the next movie that came out that I realized that he was not
mentally
disabled in any way.
Good actor. That's good acting good right actor. There. Did you know?
No Academy Award.
Daniel Day-Lewis has more than just his left foot. He can use more than just his left foot.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Right? You would choose that. And didn't he have to, like, he spent time, like, method acting where all he used was his foot to do shit with it?
That sounds very Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, I think there is. I think there's, like, reports of him, like, asking people to help.
Margot Robbie, not a doll. Okay.
Good point. So I was going to bring something up that I actually wanted to get through besides just talking about that.
Did you just bring that up because I happened to mention that I'd watched Rain Man last night?
I did.
I didn't watch it because of your list.
I
watched it.
And I just brought up that we had an entire discussion on air about this. Everything we're talking about right now.
Movies from the 80s that hold up.
And even this whole thing about not looking so good, Dustin Hoffman playing a... And then I played that clip from Tropic Thunder.
You played that on the air.
Well, the shorter version of it, but like the 30-second part where he does say it, the R word.
Yeah. That's the last time I think anybody has fully gotten away with.
Well, he was in blackface while he was doing it. So
that was like,
it's like,
man,
I don't know what the most offensive thing on you.
RDJ really dodged a bullet there by only a few months, it feels like. If he'd done that the next year, it would have already been like,
absolutely,
yeah, dude, you can't
didn't.
Do that anymore.
So, all right, this is the topic.
But nobody's come back to crucify him for that, which is kind of interesting.
No. And same with Leonardo DiCaprio in Django Unchained, where he says the N-word so often.
Well, he's playing a plantation. You know, it's act again.
Yeah,
it's
but
acting.
Have you heard that story about him not being able to do it on set? Like the first takes that
he just couldn't get that word out
and then Samuel Jackson just yells, "Say it, motherfucker!" It's a really funny story. I should find that for you later.
I had read an article one time in Variety or something that said that African Americans have a lot of respect for Leonardo DiCaprio for throwing himself so fully into
the role. Wow, that's interesting.
I'm sure opinions vary.
I think
of course.
Known as quite the liberal.
Sure.
Oh, I just found the funniest article I'm going to talk to you about after. So
you're going to talk to me about after the afterbuzz?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if anybody else would really find it interesting okay. besides just us.
Just give me the thumbnail here.
Okay, so you know how conservatism and what you would even the defining lines between politics are very blurry on either side, left or right. But when you talk about right, conservative, Republican, there used to be like an intellectual class with Buckley, William F. Buckley
Jr.
That people were there were thought leaders in the movement.
There are a lot of people that feel like jumped on the MAGA bandwagon. And, you know, maybe they were a little racist before. Maybe they were a little
xenophobic
or anti-gay or whatever. But they were never part of the conservative movement because nobody ever in the MAGA movement ever says, yeah, the states are supposed to have control of this. That was one of the main planks of being a conservative
exactly.
with states' rights over federal power.
Ideals, you had actual things that... planks that you believed in.
Some form of austerity.
Right. Less government, more.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Probably most people wouldn't be as interested in that article.
Well, anyways, my point is that whoever considers them part of the conservative intellectual class now, the people who write the op-eds, Bill Nichols.
Bill Kristol. It is Bill Kristol, but spelled different.
Yes. So all of these people that kind of contributed to George W. Bush's presidency and they're all really pissed off at MAGA influencers right now. There's this whole article that's saying, like, we don't like what the MAGA influencers are doing to the movement. And it's like, it's a little late.
I don't think, Bill Kristol is always getting called a neo
rhino
or a warhawk or a rhino or whatever. I don't know how much he identifies himself with the MAGA. And there should really be a distinction between the Republican Party and the MAGA Party because not every Republican got on board with all this.
Anyways, so I just thought it was interesting that there's people that are like, I can't believe these MAGA influencers are making those. Like, you were jumped on board. Like, you were still part of the Trump train when it left the station at
Who
the beginning.
Was? Well, Bill Kristol? No. Do you remember? You should go back and watch one of the debates where all the other candidates, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Mitt Romney kind of stuck by his guns, but these guys were talking about Donald Trump should not be anywhere near the levers of power. Donald Trump is a liar. You could find Ted Cruz looking right into a camera saying this.
Well, maybe even not as far as Bill Kristol, but for example, conservative writer James Lindsay, who made his name by opposing what he viewed as overly sensitive woke culture, chastised his fellow right-wing scribes for not taking the New York Young Republican Club's group chat that exposed misogynistic and racist messages between them.
Well, look.
Not taking it seriously enough, saying that group chat expose is the tip of the very nasty iceberg, and our denialism isn't helping a damn thing.
You could have a position as like, you know, I'm not sure about every single woke position. Maybe we need to, you know, think this through a little better. You could have that position and then be horrified by what you're seeing in the MAGA movement.
Right-wing writer Scott Greer complained that the right's reaction to Charlie Kirk's assassination exposed the idiocy and weaknesses of the modern conservative movement in addition to its conspiratorial thinking. You know, Candace Owens has not stopped beating the drum that there's a conspiracy about who killed Charlie Kirk. Either it was
Israel
or MAGA or there's all this conspiracy behind it.
I think they caught the guy though, right?
Supposedly.
Okay, I see. Well, Candace Owen, I don't know about before she turned conservative, because I understand she used to be liberal, but she has always seemed like a loose cannon to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, for just as long as she's been on my radar.
Whatever the craziest things are.
Just crazy, crazy. Only a little less crazy than, say, Alex Jones, who is
right
full
there.
Barking at
right
the moon
there.
Crazy.
Right there. Well, the actual topic that I was going to bring up today, another bell for it.
Good.
Cannibalism.
God, dude.
We talked about
what
it yesterday.
You and cannibalism.
We talked about it this morning. It's not about me. It's about a theme. And a theme is all about a coherent message. I don't know what the message really is, but we're going to keep talking about it. Okay. Yesterday, we brought up cultured salmon, cells and meat. Salmon meat that was
grown in a lab
with no animal needed.
And they got pretty good at it.
Where it tastes indistinguishable from actual salmon.
I prefer to be the judge of that myself. Right.
Well, anyways, it brought up the proposition and the possibility that you could do that with any meat. Lion meat, zebra meat, extinct mastodon meat. We could even, if we had cells from...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I could totally be wrong. I don't think you could get cells that with our technology that you can culture in a lab from something that's been dead that long. And probably
you are wrong, sir.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Then
now,
please tell
specifically
me more.
I looked this up because I watched all of the Jurassic Park movies that have Chris Pratt in them 2 weeks ago.
Oh, God.
All three.
I'm sorry.
And it made me
that
think
that happened to that you.
I'm asking ChatGPT questions about the actual Jurassic era and dinosaurs. And I'm like, how possible is this? And it's like, look, we found out DNA actually doesn't keep that long. By that long, it doesn't keep millions of years long. There would be tons of missing things and mutations.
Yeah, but if it was
even in amber,
a mosquito that
even
had been
in the
trapped
amber.
In amber.
No, it's talking about just the length of it. It just doesn't preserve. It breaks down. No matter what it's in.
Mm, but not like 20,000 years ago.
Exactly. Mm. 20,000, it says... It's actually still in the doable zone.
Oh.
That's why...
You know, I'm overjoyed to hear that.
There's new... We've already reported on this.
Well, me a damn dire wolf, like I'm one of the...
Mastodons, dire wolves, and saber tooth. We've already collected the cells from them that they're trying to...
So they can save them and then decide later if they want to bring them back.
Well, right now they're...
Back. Hear the argument
the
for
dire wolf, they
back.
Already brought the dire wolf back, they said, supposedly. That just came back. That they actually grew a dire wolf.
Now, there was a huge story that made headlines where you could now get a dire wolf pup, and then we had a bunch of experts on.
It's basically
it's just a modified dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a dire wolf at all. They didn't use dire wolf.
They
is
did.
Is that the story?
It's the referring? Same story, yeah. They used dire wolf genes. It doesn't mean
make the
that
case
it's...
to me for bringing back the saber tooth Tiger.
Cool as fuck.
Yeah.
That's the only...
Some drug dealer or asshole celebrity would definitely want one of those as a pet, right?
Oh, I just realized all the original Power Rangers Zords were based on dinosaurs. Mastodon, Sabretooth, Tyrannosaurus Rex, the Pterodactyl.
You missed that the first time around, did you?
I did. I didn't know that was a theme to the Power Rangers at the time. Yeah, anyway, so we were talking about maybe human meat could be lab-grown. Is that considered cannibalism if nobody dies?
Why would anybody want to do it?
Because you could.
There can't be a market for it. I mean,
are
maybe...
you kidding?
Where?
Weird gourmands and weird people across the world. If there's, like, wet markets with bat in China.
I'd eat a bat a long time before I'd eat a human meat.
I know there's, like, there's definitely probably a market out there for, like, the elites,
weirdos,
the Clinton elites,
like the people,
George Soros,
adrenochrome
from the kids. Well,
no, I can't.
Today
relate
we
to
brought
you,
it up.
You're on your own on this.
Today
one.
We brought it back again. I don't know how we got back.
A caller called in and had a comment
about that. Maybe.
No,
or did we? I thought we had a story.
Do you want me to play the comment? Because I can play those.
Yeah,
it's not a problem. Play those
if you have it. But I thought we were talking about a separate subject.
Speaking about like mates and everything like that. Okay, you were to be stranded, you crash into a stranded island, and I mean, you know, you're not gonna be found for a while. So some of your best buddies died. How long will you actually start like, you know, before you start like barbecuing them and everything? And which body parts would you eat, or what would you eat from them?
Okay.
Well, we're not going to rehash this conversation because we've already had this conversation on air. So if you want to hear it, check out the KLQ Buzz Adams Morning Show on demand. But what we are going to talk about right now is what I found. It was actually a link sent to us by one of our app chat listeners named KB. And he sent me a Forbes article that's really fascinating. Ancient Mesoamerican recipe for cooking human flesh decoded by archaeologists.
Cannibalism is something that has been practiced by many, many cultures through many different millennia.
The oldest recipe for human we've ever found.
Okay.
Do you want to hear about it?
Is it cream of some young guy?
All right. Hey, that was good timing for that one. That was reusing a old punchline for a brand new. That was a repurposed joke.
Zhuzhing it up.
Yes, nice zhuzh. Well, at the Mesoamerican site of Tlatelolcomilla.
In what country?
Not far from Mexico City.
Okay.
Human bones dating to the late pre-classic period, which would be 700 to 500 BC, before Christ, shows that out of 18 men, women, and children, all had clear signs that their flesh was cut off and their bones were broken. And they were
Why? Nobody wants to hear this.
And they were prepared in a certain way. So they used a bunch of different techniques for a chemical analysis, and they found both boiling and grilling were used in Mesoamerican ritual anthropophagy, or cannibalism. The color of the bones is still not explained by simple grilling because they actually had like red tint to the bones to them. So in some cases, a post-death ritual of rubbing bones with cinnabar creates red or yellow staining.
Is that like a Cinnabon?
In the cases of the grilled bones, the researchers suggest that the meat juices concentrated around the bone and diffuse into it slightly. Blood coming from the meat as temperature increased caused the red patches. The boiled bones, though, are different shades of yellow, suggesting they were cooked in low heat with colorful ingredients like pipián, chilies, or annatto.
The fact that you have such a lively interest in this topic makes me want to ask you.
The authors conclude that the differences in color have to be attributed to cooking recipes used in Mesoamerica. Okay, first of all, when have you ever heard me talk about cannibalism other than the fact that it came up from a...
Yesterday and today.
Well, today it came up because a caller brought it back up from yesterday.
And chose to extend it into the after.
All about themes.
Okay.
Anyways, isn't that crazy that they have recipes for people?
Yeah, it probably got passed down mother to daughter.
This is how I made your uncle.
Delicious.
Little cinnabar, little chilies, little pipián. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. Let us know what you think about the theme. And,
yeah, let Nico know if he needs to quit acting so creepy, man.
I promise, I won't bring cannibalism up anymore unless you bring it back up and then we have to address it again. What spices would you use in your recipe?
Cumin, for sure.
Human cumin.
That's what I was thinking. You'd have a whole new use for that spice.
All right, talk to you all next time. Bye.